From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we continue a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought from the pen of C.H. Spurgeon, found in his collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, God is a Sanctuary. The text is Ezekiel chapter 11 and verse 16. Therefore say, Thus saith the Lord God, Although I have cast them far off among the heathen, and although I have scattered them among the countries, yet will I be to them as a little sanctuary in the countries where they shall come. Banished from the public means of grace, we are not removed from the grace of the means. The Lord who places his people where they feel as exiles will himself be with them and be to them all that they could have had at home in the place of their solemn assemblies. Take this to yourselves, O ye who are called to wander. God is to his people a place of refuge. They find sanctuary with him from every adversary. He is their place of worship too. He is with them as with Jacob when he slept in the open field, and rising said, Surely God was in this place. To them also he will be a sanctuary of quiet, like the Holy of Holies, which was the noiseless abode of the Eternal. They shall be quiet from fear of evil. God himself in Christ Jesus is the sanctuary of mercy. The Ark of the Covenant is the Lord Jesus. And Aaron's rod, the pot of manna, the tables of the law, all are in Christ our sanctuary. In God we find the shrine of holiness and of communion. What more do we need? O Lord, fulfill this promise and be ever to us as a little sanctuary. If your Bible reading is usually in the Authorized or King James Version, you have probably encountered words that are quite unfamiliar. Because the Authorized Version was translated in the 17th century, some of its words are no longer in use or perhaps have a different meaning now. Let the Bible Speak is pleased to offer a booklet containing many of those archaic terms and their meaning in modern-day speech. In addition, the booklet contains a Bible reading plan that will help you to read the whole Bible through in 2 years, as well as the Psalms and the New Testament twice. To obtain your copy of A Bible Word List free of charge, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of A Bible Word List, and we'll be happy to provide it. Continuing his series in the book of Romans, Dr. Cairns brings the next portion of a message entitled, The Obligation of Christians to Make the Gospel Known in All the World. Verses 13 through 15 of chapter 1 of the epistle reveal something of Paul's heart for preaching the gospel. As Dr. Cairns has already noted, Paul's burden for missionary work grew out of his own experience of the power of the gospel. Then Paul felt that he owed it to sinners to give them the gospel. For him, preaching the gospel was not an option, it was an obligation. Consequently, his desire to go to Rome was fueled by a longing to gather spiritual fruit there. Now here is Dr. Cairns to continue this message, The Christian's Obligation to Make the Gospel Known.
The greatest mistake you can make in the ministry or in the Christian life is to live in the power of a past experience. Well, let me rephrase that, because it's no longer power. Live in the shade of a past experience. Where all you ever felt about the gospel is what you felt then. Paul was not like that. Oh, he could look back in the power of the gospel that he had experienced, but he was still living in the experience, the liberating experience, the joyous experience of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it was that experience of the gospel that welled up within Paul and gave him a passion for missions. That's where it came from. And that's very scriptural, that it should. You remember the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ? Luke chapter 6, verse 45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Could anything be clearer? hires a preacher to preach out of a textbook, out of a book of theological theory? Is it the job of a preacher to come and regurgitate the dead letter of Greek or Hebrew syntax and rules of grammar? Is that the job of the preacher? No. All those things have their place. Don't misunderstand me, and you students for the ministry, don't think I'm giving you any easy way out. I'm not. They have their place. And if you're not willing to spend the long hours in your study to grapple with those things, then you're not fit to be a preacher. But that's not your job, to regurgitate those to the people. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth must speak. And the preacher who does not get alone with God and experience the gospel will have no burden to preach it and no burden to spread it. Do you remember when William Carey, the great Baptist missionary, the father of the modern missionary movement, when he first caught the fire of God in his soul to get the gospel out to the heathens of India, introduced it to a group of Orthodox Baptist preachers, the most Calvinistic, the most Orthodox, the most upright, the most separated, the most biblical men in the country. And what was the response? Young man, when God purposes to save the heathen, he will do it without your help. How could men who believe this book ever come to such a place? Very simply. Oh, they believed it all. But I cannot for a minute believe that the man who made such a statement was actually living in the abundant enjoyment of the gospel that he preached. I know that this was how the apostles felt. You remember in Acts 4 we read the words of Peter and the other apostles when they were under pressure to give over preaching the gospel. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. We can't do anything else. The man who gets alone with this book and sees Christ in the gospel cannot help but speak of Christ. And I know that it was Paul's heart. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, he says, "It is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken." And then he adds, "We also believe and therefore speak." Can anything be clearer? Anytime churches or Christians lose the burden for missionary outreach, it is always because they have lost their vision of the gospel and their appreciation of the gospel. They are no longer living in its abundant enjoyment. Paul had a burden for missionary work that grew directly out of his experience of the glory and the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't want to get off on a tangent here, but that is why all the heart-rending films of starving children in heathen lands will never make missionaries. It may make social workers, will never make missionaries. It is good that we have a vision of the need. I'll come to that in due course. It is good that we have a vision of men and their need. But the only thing that will really give us the zeal to carry the gospel to them is a vision of Christ, a grasp of the gospel, an experience of its glory and its power and its wonder within our souls, when we lose that sense of wonderment at the love of God in Christ, when we lose that sense of wonderment at the incarnation, at the glory of God coming in the flesh to save us, when we lose the sense of amazement at the majesty of justifying grace, then we will lose the burden for a lost world. Paul's burden grew out of his experience of the gospel. That leads me to say that with that experience and that burden, Paul felt that he owed it to sinners to give them the gospel. He says, I am debtor. I owe it to the Greeks and the barbarians, the wise and the unwise. Now, Greeks and barbarians really means Greeks and non-Greeks. Later it might have come to mean foreigners in rather a condescending sense. But quite simply, it means all nations. All nations. Wise and unwise. He speaks of all classes. And Paul says, I am a debtor to all nations and to all classes. I am a debtor. I owe it to these people. Rome was called an epitome of the world because it had all these nations represented in it. And it had all these classes represented in it. And Paul looked at these people in that seething city of Rome, that center of the world of his day, and he said, I cannot, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I cannot sit back unmoved, disinterested, careless. When I look at the city of Rome, sure there is a fledgling church there, but there's never been an apostle of Christ there. I cannot sit back and condemn Rome to its own heathenism, ignorance, and all the filthiness that goes with it. I am debtor to these people, just as I'm debtor to every other nation and every other class of people. I think Paul felt exactly as did the four leprous men who sat outside the gate of Samaria. You remember you read of those men in 2 Kings chapter 7. They were lepers. They were dying. They couldn't get into the city. The gates were closed. It was besieged. The people inside were dying. They'd been reduced to paying a fortune to eat a little dung. Over here we had the Syrian army. And here are four men, and they say, we're going to die. Let's throw ourselves in the mercy of the Syrians. At worst, we can but die. We're dying anyway. And when they went, they found that God had been before them and scattered these people, and they had run in the night, leaving everything, and especially interesting, leaving their food behind them. They left their silver, their gold, all their acquisitions from their campaigns. They left everything in their rush, as they thought, for their lives. Can you see those four men? They gathered all the silver and all the gold that they could. And they ate till their bellies were bursting. And they sat down and they felt, my, we have never been so full in all the years we can remember. We're satiated, we're happy. And then we read in verse 9 of 2 Kings chapter 7, then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. And we hold our peace. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. That's how Paul felt. A poor, guilty sinner, suffering from a disease worse than leprosy, going to a death worse than that of the four leprous men, facing an enemy more cruel than the Syrians. And yet, as a poor, guilty sinner, I have met with God's provision. He has been there before me. He has made provision. I have satiated my soul, and today I'm satisfied with the fullness that I have in Christ. But then he has to say, this is a day of good tidings. And if I hold my peace, I sin. I can't keep this to myself. I can't let the world go on without knowing. I must go and tell. I am a debtor. He felt that obligation. He felt it. Obviously, because the people were perishing. And he had the message that they needed. The people were perishing. And he had the message that they needed. As we see as we go on in this epistle, he spends the first main section of the epistle explaining and expounding the need. And then he spends the next main section of the epistle explaining how the gospel of Jesus Christ is fit to meet that need. This is something that weighed in his heart. Here is a world, Jew and Gentile, and it's dying in sin. There is a city in Rome made up of Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, cultured and uncultured, wise and unwise, literate and illiterate, slaves and masters. They're all dying under the condemnation of God. I have the message that they need. I have the message that they need. I'm obligated to go and give it to them. As I quoted this morning from 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying worthy of all acceptation. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And if Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, then to Paul's way of thinking, the sinners whom he has saved have the obligation to go and tell other sinners of Christ's mission of mercy. But he felt the obligation because God had called him to that work. You remember we looked at this earlier on in this epistle or this chapter. Paul says he was a bond slave of Jesus Christ. He was separated unto the gospel of God. God had saved him and said, Paul, what you've got to live for now is the gospel. Now, I don't want you to misunderstand me here. Paul was called in a very special way to a work that no other man in history has ever been called to. But that uniqueness does not extend so far as to say that when God spoke to Paul, saying in effect, Paul, I have saved you, and your life from this point onwards must be a life for the spread of the gospel. The uniqueness doesn't extend so far that that is true of Paul only. The uniqueness was the kind of ministry, the kind of apostolic power. That's not yours or mine, but the obligation to be separated unto the gospel is. Let me make it clear. Whether you're a student or a professor, whether you're a shopkeeper or a tycoon in industry, whether you're a millionaire or a pauper, whether you have all the brains in the world or whether you think you were marked absent the day they were giving out the brains, doesn't matter. I want you to learn this. If God has saved you, he has set you apart unto the gospel. So whatever your position in life, whatever your talent, lack of talent is no excuse in this. Understand that. Lack of talent is no excuse. If you have a soul saved by the grace of God and washed in the blood of Christ, God says you're separated unto the gospel of God. That's the obligation.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak. the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.